Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ, certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
Hello, how are you, Chris? We're back on your ears.
Back on my ears.
Back on your ears. We're going round that little bit, round the hole of your ear, and we're going inside, and the little anvil and the hammer. Do you ever get taught that in biology? There's a little hammer and an anvil in there, I think.
Is there really?
I mean, yeah, I think so. Where's the Islet of Lagerhans? Have we spoken about this before?
Probably.
I think that's in the liver. Sorry, everyone. I didn't need to bring that up, did I?
I'm quite good at talking to people, right? I'm quite conversationally good. But then there's... How do you come back to what Pete says, ladies and gentlemen?
You don't have to. You just sit back and enjoy it, mate. It's a ride.
It is quite fun.
It's a fairground.
It's exciting seeing what comes up. You never know.
Join the joyride, mate. Get involved.
That's a T-shirt worthy quote there. Come join the joyride. Stick it on Pete's T-shirt.
Yeah.
I'm feeling emotional.
Oh no.
Not because I'm sitting with you, Pete.
Right.
But...
Got to go back to Japan soon. You're probably going to miss me, I imagine.
Well, I've got to go back to Japan. But one thing I did today, I was driving down the M4, because I'm still in the UK, ladies and gentlemen. Driving down the M4, which goes into London. And I took a little detour to George Michael's house.
I weren't expecting
that line.
Bit random. Any particular reason?
Well, as you know, George Michael is dead.
And if you don't, what a callous way to reveal it.
Yeah, after discussion about ears. It's sad. I love George Michael. It's weird because I like music like The Clash, Suede, The Doors, The Smiths, and nestled firmly in that top 10 list of my favourite artists is George Michael, because he's done some great songs. I'm not talking about his days in Wham, really.
Right,
I'm not talking Wake Me Up Before You Go. I'm talking Kissing a Fool, Cowboys and Angels, some of his late
music. Let's Go Outside, that one.
Probably not that one.
Why?
Not really that one.
It was after he got caught in a toilet doing naughty things, and then he came back.
This is supposed to be emotional.
He came back with a video of sexy ladies and him dancing around as a cop.
It's quite a funny video.
Dancing around.
But I do like George Michael, and I felt like I wanted to go and see his house. It's common knowledge where his house is in Goring on Thames,
right?
Where he did pass away 2 years ago on Christmas Day. It's very sad. But I drove up there. I parked up.
Was there like a little shrine?
At the front of his house, there's lots of pictures of George, and people have written notes and things as flowers. It's quite sad and emotional, but it's I felt like I wanted to go there and sort of pay tribute. Didn't really do anything. I just sort of stood there, and went
did a solemn bow,
and then I got
and
back in the car and carried on down the M4.
Did you play any George Michael music on the way there or on the way back?
I did. I had this. It's really weird. I had my iPhone on random.
Right.
And there's about 3,000 songs on my phone.
Mm.
And during my time in Goring on Thames, at least three George Michael songs came up.
That's incredible.
It was like fate. It was magical.
There was a big battle at Highgate, a part of London that you and Natsuki have definitely visited because you went to Highgate Cemetery.
Yes, Karl Marx statue.
Karl Marx statue. There is a big shrine that I believe is still there for George Michael because he did also have a house around there. And basically, the village is very insular, and they have like residence meetings, and they have like neighborhood watch, and they're very kind of like they don't like outsiders and stuff, and they're very particular about who lives where and in the place. And so when this shrine went up from like people visiting from all around the world, some really emotional messages and like little diary entries and little songs that people have written and stuff, and flowers and pictures, candles, etc. That appeared on this green in front of a lot of houses. Now a lot of the high community assumed that the houses behind the shrine owned that piece of grass, but they didn't. They would always have their say when it came to anything that was allowed on that grass. But the fact that the George Michael stuff started appearing, the people behind it couldn't get rid of it because they weren't legally allowed to. So it created a real hoo-ha in Highgate Village, as far as I can tell.
It's a very, very wealthy area. It's very nice, expensive. Did you say you lived there?
I used to live there, yeah.
The most expensive part of London, you lived there.
I lived there, but it was a rental, wasn't it? It was on there for a crazy rate. We had carpet moths. That was upsetting.
First world problems. Pete Dawson.
Carpet moths. Not my carpets, mate. Not our
swanky high game.
Sorry, can you get rid of these carpet moths to my property letting agent? They went, you're going to have to get rid of those yourself. I went, right, fine. They're eating your carpet. They're eating my carpet. All right. Enjoy.
A few weeks ago, we featured the Japan Times, and in the article, they pointed out how this podcast, whilst talking about Japan, we often sometimes explore other topics. And today,
carpet moths.
We've gone
George Michael.
Down the route of carpet moths and George Michael. Mm. It's a Q&A video. We are answering your questions, guys, sent in to the fax machine straight from abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. What have we got, Mr. Donaldson?
Well, first things first, it's not a video, so grow up, Chris. Oh, you're not in YouTube land now. Kevin. Hey, Kevin from Norway here. I'm a huge fan. I mean, binge listening to the podcast for the past 2 months. Oh, what a terrible 2 months, people. I usually listen to your podcast while I'm walking to buy groceries or just in general while playing games, more specifically the Yakuza games. I always wanted to visit Japan for some time, but I've been too afraid to ride in airplanes. Do you have any suggestions or tips on how to overcome that fear? And also, what area do you recommend I should visit first? Kevin.
I am also afraid of airplanes, Kevin. Probably not to that degree. I mean, I still fly.
Get pissed!
You could get pissed, like Pete Dawson does every day. Or
no.
Sleeping pills are a good way.
Sleeping pills?
You take sleeping pills on the plane, right, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Why do you do that?
Because I want to sleep, Chris. I'm going to Taiwan now next month, and I got myself a business seat because I was like, you know what? I deserve this.
You lucky son.
And when I lie flat, I'm going to say,
Highgate apartments and business class.
I deserve this. I'll find carpet moths on the seat. Oh, no!
I actually got a business class flight once. It was paid for by some company who were getting me to fly between London and Tokyo. And it was quite good. It was nice.
Mm. Not worth the money that it's printed on, though, is it?
No, I would never do it myself. But I was on the plane. Some nasty turbulence hit. I was terrified because I get really scared of turbulence. My body just kicks in, my heart beats, my heart races. And I remember turning to the air steward guy. I was like, I'm scared. What should I do? And he brought me some sleeping pills and the pilot of the plane, which didn't really help.
Okay.
Because
yeah, you kind of want that guy up front.
Why? He was like, I think it was French. He was like, don't worry, the plane is completely safe. There'll be no problem at all. You can fly 30,000 feet, no problem.
It is not a problem. I will prove to you I will land this plane after taking one of these sleeping pills.
I was like, yeah.
Get back in the cockpit.
It's good. Go to the cockpit and fly the plane. Don't talk to me.
Can you wheel my seat
amazing.
Into
that
the cockpit?
That is the benefit of business class. Not only do you get a seat that turns into a bed, but the pilot will come out and chat to you in French.
I could get any pilot from any plane to come out if I
that sounds
created
awfully like a hijacking scenario.
If I was naughty enough, I reckon the pilot would come out and go,
what
Peter,
qualifies as naughty
stop
enough?
This running I, around. I you know what I'd really like to do on a plane, like run, you know, like people who try and like parkour, people who sort of run up a wall and flip like backflip.
Yeah,
I'd like to do that on the door.
I don't think that would
watch
help
everyone's
Kevin
faces
on the plane.
No,
I hope
no,
Kevin never ends up flying with you because that probably won't help the situation. To Kevin, I say take some sleeping pills. I did have a friend once I worked with who was like Kevin level afraid of flying.
Kevin level.
It's a new technical term. She got like an injection before the flight.
What?
They like stuck a syringe in her arm, knocked her out for 12 hours, and that was it. So you could do that.
Is she like a, repatriated? What's going on?
She's bloody terrified of flying. As I am sometimes.
I mean, yeah, but like an injection, and they're just taking a prawn body. You're basically carting an unconscious woman. Is that true?
Yes.
Because you can't just inject women or men with drugs and then they just pass out. They're not fit to fly. What if the plane crashes? Sorry, Kevin, close your ears.
Well, I did think about that, yeah.
Yeah.
How's she going to swim?
I'm fairly certain she's having you on there. Nah. I'm not having it.
Nah, she did it.
She did definitely.
Believe my stories.
Believe my stories.
We've got a question here from Kieran, who says, "Hello, Chrissy A. Hello, Peter D. Chrissy A. I'm guessing Chrissy abroad. Don't know.
There was a bloke who used to own a lot of equipment that I now have in my house called Chrissy Apples, who used to produce the football podcast.
Lovely name.
Chrissy Apples.
Hello, Chrissy A. Hello, Peter D. Hope you're both well. Currently listening, as I always do, while stacking shelves in my part-time job in Tesco. I'm currently a law student who plans on venturing into corporate law when I graduate. I am about to start learning Japanese because apparently I'm a sadist. I've never known how to pronounce that word. Sadist.
Yeah.
And law degree work isn't enough for me. My question is the myth of Japanese workers all working 1 million hours a week true? If so, are expats also expected to follow suit? Finally, if Natsuki doesn't have an English football team, please tell him to support Everton. I'll happily send him a T-shirt. Kieran from Chester. Everton?
I'm furious that he got him supporting Everton. But, he could have worse football teams, I suppose. Oh, God, what was the... I've started collecting J-League shirts. I've got quite a few now, like 20 of them. I've got the Jeff United, who have a funny name.
United?
Yeah, Jeff United.
That's a football team?
Yeah.
In Japan?
Yeah.
Jeff United?
Jeff United.
Where?
JAF. I don't know, I'll give it a Google. You, Phil.
In the meantime, well, Pete Google's Jeff United.
Google Pete.
I will say Japanese workers do work a lot of hours, but they're not very efficient. If you look at worker efficiency, Japan isn't ranked that high.
Mm.
I think American workers are actually more efficient. And that's because in Japan, workers are expected to be present at the job. That above all, that's the most important thing. They're supposed to be at the job. They prize that above all, that you're always on standby, that you're always in your role. We had teachers, you know, I'd look around the staff room where I used to work at school, 120 teachers, and many of them would just do nothing.
Mm.
They would just stay till really late to look good. And if I stayed at my desk until 5 p.m., 6 p.m., like an hour or two past what I needed to, I would get complimented on being a really great employee, even though I was often just doing nothing, like learning Japanese or watching videos on YouTube.
That's so silly.
They'd be like, wow, Chris, you're the best employee we've ever had because you're here an extra hour.
So they're probably not big on teleworking or anything like that, or working from home.
Oh, God, that would not work. Honestly. But no, Japan, they do expect expats to do that as well. If you work in Japan for a Japanese company, you will be expected to work to death until 10 p.m. There's no concept of free time and work time. There's like the barriers aren't there. It's pretty bad actually. One of Japan's weakest points, I'd say, is the work ethic or the work
people
mentality.
People doing nothing until late just because their managers don't go on. We should give Kevin a Japanese football team. May I recommend Jubilo Iwata? Jubilo, which I think is Spanish for joy. There's a lot of like French and Spanish words in J-League teams, I've noticed. Is the official Yamaha team, or they started as the Yamaha football team, and their biggest rival is Honda's football team, except Honda aren't professional. If anyone knows football and knows Japan, if anyone could recommend
there?
A good
Did
book,
you just break?
If
Did
anybody,
you just break?
Slit. I've got to do a radio show. If anyone could give me like a book about the history of the J League or the history of Japanese football, that would
of
be
Japan.
The Japan League. That would be fantastic. And because I'm in control of the buttons, Chris, I'm going to say let's take a shot at break.
Damn you, Pete.
But first, I'll put the fader up.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Thoroughly wash your manly body.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dear Chris and Pete, I was wondering whether you have to alter your personality in Japan so they don't misunderstand or get offended. Best wishes, Aaron from Iceland. Do you have to alter your personality when you go to Japan, Pete?
I'm nice every time I leave these aisles. I'm much more pleasant. I'm like a kind of very... I'm like an Instagram filter version of me. The things I say, the things I want. Very, very much tidied up.
Seemed pretty much the same to me. Drunk in the UK, drunk outside.
Right, I got the reputation of being drunk. I'm not. I don't drink Monday through Friday, but when Friday night comes round, oh yeah.
It's Tuesday, isn't it?
It is Tuesday, yeah.
Wait, no, it's Wednesday.
No, it's Wednesday.
Good Lord.
God, you're so drunk you've been all day.
Drunk on coffee.
Do you modify your behaviour when you're abroad?
I do.
In what way?
I'm nicer. In Japan, I'm not really me. If I'm speaking Japanese or dealing with Japanese people, it's like a Chris Broad light edition. It's like you
a
don't
demo,
get the full
like
experience.
Demo.
There's no sarcasm. There's a little humour. Mm. I don't really understand Japanese humour. I'm not very good at it. It's very self-deprecating humour. So, I mean, the only way I could get my students to laugh was I'd just walk in the class one day and go, "Oh, I'm fat now. Ah, oh, ha, ha. Chris is fat." And they'd go, "Ah, oh, ha." And that'd be that. That's all I could do. That's the only way I can make people laugh. And that's
is
all
that
I still
excuse?
Do now.
That's why I ate pizza.
To be fair, it's not much better. It's not much worse than my normal humour anyway. But yeah, I feel like I'm not very opinionated when I speak Japanese. Because it's kind of, you're very crass if you're very opinionated. If you throw your opinions out there. Unless it's a good friend like Natsuki or someone, you know.
Natsuki seems very opinionated about
Natsuki's
things.
Natsuki's frighteningly opinionated. But unless you're very good friends with someone, I feel like you have to kind of hold yourself in reserve a little bit.
Right, okay.
And yeah, I feel like I'm not really me when I speak Japanese. So,
isn't that sad?
Yeah.
How would you introduce a little bit of you?
I'll just be like, "Hajimemashite. Kurisu Burodo to moshimasu."
And that's not how you speak. That's nothing like you speak.
That's how I speak.
Yeah, so there is definitely a lot of tidying up when it comes to Chris Japan style. Where are we at? I've lost where the email's at.
I'll do it. Hi, Chris and Pete. My name's Hayden from York.
Ooh.
First of all, just like to say, I love the podcast. Listen every week. I'm going to Japan for 2 weeks, in just over 6 weeks. I'll be visiting Tokyo, Kyoto, Osaka, and Hiroshima. I still have one more hotel to book in Tokyo on my return there before my flight home to the UK. I'm staying in Shibuya when I first arrived, but wondered if you could recommend any other areas in Tokyo to stay. Thank you. Hayden.
There is a lovely hotel that is staffed entirely by robot dinosaurs. And you should definitely consider that one, because it is really fun and well thought out.
And it's just overlooking Disneyland. So if you go to Disneyland, kill two birds with one stone. Just be aware, Hayden, if you do go to the Henna Hotel, Robot Dinosaur Hotel, it doesn't really work. The dinosaurs don't work.
It just doesn't work.
The staff will have to come out and do everything for the robots.
What are you, TripAdvisor?
I would say Ueno.
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 Mm. Is that where the nice shops are?
Yeah, kind of. Near Asakusa. It's very cheap there. There's two areas of Tokyo. I kind of see like the east and the west. The west is like Shibuya, Shinjuku, Harajuku. And the east side is Ueno, Tokyo Station, Akihabara, Asakusa. Right. I tend to stay in one or the other, depending on where I'm doing things, what I'm filming, where business is, whatever. I'd say stay in Ueno, and you get to see the other side of Tokyo and explore a lot of cool stuff there.
The first time I went, I stayed in Shiodome for some reason.
Shiodome. Oh, right, yeah. It's a very luxurious, decadent area where couples who are getting married and having honeymoons.
It was very expensive. And then I went and stayed in the Cerulean Tower in Shibuya, which is also very expensive.
Cerulean Tower, yes. If you have money to burn, stay in Shibuya. The Cerulean Tower. The good thing about Ueno, though, is, hotels are frighteningly cheap.
Frighteningly cheap. You've just handed me a scary invoice. Whoa.
Well, I remember I went...
My cat's going to shit himself.
I remember a few weeks ago in the podcast, we talked about how I bragged about how I spent 3 months of my teaching salary to stay at the Park Hyatt Hotel in Shinjuku. Where they filmed Lost in Translation. The day after I did that, I stayed in a business hotel in Ueno, next to Ueno Station, for about like 3,000 yen.
And got off with a man who looked like Bill Murray.
It's disgusting. But I went from like super luxury hotel, 300 metres above the city, looking out over the skyline, to like a dustbin.
So you went from Scarlett Johansson to Bill Murray,
basically. And I opened the door of the hotel room, and loads of smoke just came out.
Nice,
because people smoke in there, and there was just still smoke in the room for some reason. The bed stained in wine and cigarettes. Nothing. TV didn't really work. Yeah. The lamp was broken, but I liked it. I felt like I was on a film set. So stay there. Don't know what it was called. It was just type in booking.com and go to the cheapest place you can find, and then you can relive the magic of the world's crappiest hotel.
Lovely.
Do that, Hayden.
Well, enjoy yourself, Hayden, and, stay out of trouble, yeah? Steve from Cleveland, Ohio, which I believe is in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Chris and Pete. I've been following your YouTube channel for a while now, but I just recently discovered your podcast. What a great way to pass the time in the office. It is. Last September, I went on my first ever trip to Japan and had a rather interesting encounter on my very first day in Tokyo. As I was walking through Yogi Park, a homeless writer approached me and was very excited to talk to me in English. We chatted for nearly 30 minutes about writing, politics and the Japanese judicial system. He was of the belief that the infamous Japanese politeness is just a mask that some people put on to appease the authority figures. He claimed that Japanese police are very overbearing, and if you're accused of something, you're pretty much guaranteed to be proven guilty. For that reason, the Japanese public is overly concerned with etiquette, so they don't offend the wrong person and end up in legal trouble. In speaking with your Japanese colleagues, have they ever expressed a similar sentiment, or do you think this man was being overly dramatic because of a particular instance he faced in his past? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Steve from Cleveland, Ohio. I'd actually quite like to hear the thoughts of the homeless writer man in Yoyogi Park.
There's so many exciting things in this message. Homeless writer. I want to meet a homeless writer.
They closed Yoyogi Park once because of dengue fever, so maybe he's got a dose of it and he's gone slowly crazy.
Well, I mean, half of what he said makes sense.
Yeah.
I like the bit where he said...
it's a bit of a mask.
You're pretty much guaranteed to be proven guilty if you're accused of something. It's kind of true.
Mm.
I think there's a 99% conviction rate, or 98%.
That's pretty good. That's good policing.
Well...
Unless you haven't done it. Then you're in big trubs.
Well, there's a bit, the big story with Carlos Ghosn, the head of Nissan, Renault, recently got... accused of doing various naughty things like hiding away $20 million in tax money or something.
Right.
But very much he's been, proven guilty until innocent. And he's spent the last 2 or 3 months in a tatami mat room the size of a small toilet the floor, just wondering how it got to that.
Do you get, in Japanese prisons, do you get tatami mats? That's what I would like to know.
I believe so.
Oh.
What could you want?
So nice.
But I think it's
more luxurious than many Airbnbs I've stayed in.
From what I understand, and I hope I don't ever end up there, Japanese prisons are pretty grim. There's like an unpleasant regime. You have like 20 minutes of outdoor time where you have to run around in a field. Then you get back in your tatami mat tiny room and lay on the floor and do nothing.
I mean, don't do crimes, guys.
Don't do crimes and don't get accused of something, of anything, even if you're innocent. Just don't get accused of anything and you'll be fine.
Don't put love potions in people's drinks. Don't... What other crimes have we heard recently witnessed lately? Don't kick any robots down some stairs. I'm trying to think about, were there any more crimes that you talked about? Don't open a robot hotel. Don't dupe people into thinking that robots are cool. They're not cool.
I don't think the bit about, what does he say? He was of the belief that infamous Japanese politeness is just a mask that most people put on to appease authority figures. That's not true. I think Japanese people, politeness and hierarchy has always been built into Japanese culture. So I don't think people are just polite because they don't want to end up in a Japanese prison. I don't think that's the case. So, no. I think he was being a little bit overly dramatic.
He's a writer. He's a writer, Chris.
Character.
That's his
tools. Every day you chat to a homeless writer for 30 minutes about writing politics in the Japanese judicial system.
It's a little voyeuristic, but the homeless community of Yogi Park is actually quite fascinating in the way that they construct their little houses out of cardboard. They are very ornate and very organised and... About if you looked at that, I went, yeah, that looks Japanese to me. Even the homeless people are very tidy.
They're very nice.
They're on their uppers.
I don't know how to build on that.
They're on their uppers, but they've got very nice, tidy little houses they've made.
Lisa says...
My name's Pete. Oh, right, carry on.
Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm making my first trip to Japan next year and travelling with a friend who is lovely in many ways, but has an extremely loud, booming speaking voice and a laugh that causes people to jump in fright from intensity. How will this float in Japan? We're both visiting cities and rural areas. Should I ask my friend to tone it down and risk a very long, frosty 2 weeks, or say nothing and not worry about it? Love the podcast. My favourite two broadcasters creating an audio sandwich of delight. Make hump day something to look forward to. What does that mean?
Hump day is Wednesday. It's like that hump you got to get over. And then
really?
It's the sweet...
How do I know that?
The sweet filling of Saturday and Friday.
I don't know if you're making that up or not, but I'm going to go along
hump
with that.
Hump day. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day. Keep up the good work.
You've been away for England too long.
Lisa, I have. Yeah, I will say, tell your friend not to be too loud. I always feel so uncomfortable if I'm on a train and my friend's talking too loud because it's silence.
Oh, yeah.
Japanese trains are like being on a moving library. if you're talking loud, everyone will look or feel uncomfortable and it's just a bit annoying. Yeah, it sucks, really, because you should be able to talk on a train.
Yeah, but I mean, I think some people are just too bloody loud anyway, really. The arrogance of sound. I hate people who just can't close a door without slamming it. Like Slammy Man. How's Slammy Man, Ken?
Is that your pet peeve? Well,
the arrogance of slamming a door. It's just so arrogant. Making noise for no reason. Terrible.
Just have the frosty 2 weeks and that'll... Surely your friends aren't frosty, really. I mean, it might be a bit awkward if I'm like, Pete, can you just not be loud for the next 2 weeks?
The problem is...
Stop talking, Pete, for the next 2 weeks while we're on the trip.
I've tried that with friends. If you ever need to find out who the loud and clumsy friend is, take them to Japan because they will just get themselves caught on doorways and... if you take the golden guy, and they'll just be at the end. They'll just be wearing one of the buildings because they're just too big and lumbering, and they just trip over stuff and bash into people and loud people as well. Just too loud on trains. Pete, are we getting over this stop? Just calm it down. Like you must know that nobody else is making that noise. I'd risk a frosty holiday, but to be honest, Lisa, they're going to be just as loud as they are at home because loud people can't learn. The arrogance of the loud person. I'm not having it.
You heard it here first, folks. We've got last question. It's from Alex. It says, hi, Chris and Pete. He's from Portsmouth, in brackets. Hi, Chris and Pete. You talk a fair amount about cultural differences and how sometimes meaning can be misinterpreted. My question is, what's the strangest conversation you've inadvertently found yourself having in Japanese and why? Keep up the good work, chaps. Hopefully this will serve as a time capsule to an older Alex who will happen upon this message being read out in the future when he catches up on the show.
Oh.
Love from Alex in Portsmouth.
I like that time traveller, Alex.
Clever, isn't it? Obviously,
I can't speak Japanese, so it probably over to Chris in this one. The only one I can think of is I was saying house instead of no.
What? Oh, yeah.
And yeah, is it?
Yes, yeah means no, and yeah means house.
Yeah. Can you see how those two could have been confused, Chris?
Well, context surely would have saved the day.
Probably, but me just going, house, house.
It's like, do you want some cheese? And you go, house, it doesn't work.
I would
work,
never say no to that. Or house. I want a house full of cheese.
We've all been there.
I want lots of cheese.
The weirdest conversation I can recall was on my first day in my job as a teacher. We had this lovely woman who was a little bit old, teacher. Mm. Can't remember her name. But she came over and she used to bring me Kit Kats. She's really nice. She'd be like, oh, hello, Chris Sensei. She spoke English quite well. She's an English teacher, very old. And she's like, oh, Chris Sensei, I have a Kit Kat.
Oh, she knows that float yacht boat, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She's got your number,
mate.
In my
good books. I suppose actually it was in English, but let's just pretend. I'm just going to carry on. it was in Japanese. It was in English.
Yeah.
But she. But we didn't. I only met her about 20 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. She brought the Kit Kats over. She was in my good books. And then she went, have you seen Osama bin Laden's girlfriend? She was very pretty. She's so nice. And right. I was like, is this actually happening? Is this a convert? I'm jet lagged. I'm tired. I've flown 8,000 miles. I've had a crappy orientation in Shinjuku for 3 days. Now I'm jet lagged. I'm hot. It's 45 degrees. And now we're talking about Osama bin Laden, recently deceased. We're talking about his girlfriend.
Sorry, Chris, mate.
And Pete is now looking up Osama bin Laden's girlfriend on Google.
Laden's...
But how did that even come up as a conversation topic?
Girlfriend.
Of all the things. I mean, to be fair, it's a nice... It's a good conversation opener, isn't it? Oh,
I've
written girl fiend.
Bin Laden's
girlfriend.
And
he was a fiend, so they probably got on quite well.
Bin Laden's girl fiend. Yeah. Stunning. I don't know. I was just like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't much of a looker, was he?
I think I just stuck the Kit Kat slowly in my mouth and was like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That
really
sounds sexy.
Hot. and then with that, the conversation ended there. She went, and slowly walked off to her little room, which was like the other side of the staff room. It's a weird one.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like she had brought the Kit Kats as a way of, you know, having an excuse to come over and then talk about Osama bin Laden's girlfriend. But again, jet lagged, dehydrated. That's not the subject you want to talk about.
Well, she's wearing niqab in this one, so I don't know what the...
Stop looking at Osama bin Laden's girlfriend.
It's difficult. I don't know.
Forbid you to look at Osama bin Laden's girlfriend.
I imagine he would as well, to be honest, if he had his way. He's not known for pragmatism, is he?
This is the worst possible ending to any podcast, talking about Osama bin Laden.
I want to end it two questions ago, but you insisted on doing the last two questions, Chris. After my... I can't even remember what I said, but it was horrible.
But that's
so let's finish now.
Just keep the questions coming, guys, to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week.
Yes.
And we will not be talking, I can confirm, we will not be talking about Osama bin Laden's girlfriend.
You don't
know
that. You can't.
Unless Pete
can't say that
decides
for certain.
To bring it up.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Let's get out of here. Bin Laden's girlfriend. How could it get so low? Fuck me.
Christopher.
Sorry.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.